الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم ومن والاه بعد. My brothers and sisters, we were talking about the issue of Ramadan al-Kareem and the issue of taqwa, and the definition of taqwa was the fear of offending the one we love the most. It is not fear of Allah, it is the fear of offending the one we love the most. So therefore, as we said, it is necessary to develop the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our hearts. The more we love Allah, the more we will fear to disobey Allah. So the more our taqwa will increase. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Ramadan al-Kareem, where he said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Oh, you who believe, fasting has been prescribed for you as it was prescribed for those before you, so that you become muttaqoon. Yesterday we looked at the first stage of how to develop love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by focusing on and reflecting on His creation itself, both outside as well as inside ourselves. And I mentioned some examples, inshallah you will get those recordings. Today we'll look at the second step in developing love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One is to reflect on His glory and majesty, which is in His kitab, reading the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, reading the introduction that Allah made of Himself, and so on, and also looking at the ayatullah in the creation, all the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the creation. Allah said, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِّأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. Allah said that in the creation of the heavens and the earth and the alternation and change of day and night, there are signs for people of intelligence. The second way of developing the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to focus on the ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on us. What are the blessings of Allah on us? Even if you look at our own relationships and so on, you love somebody, you like somebody because you get some good thing from them. So every time the person meets you, he's smiling. Every time you need something, he's helpful. The person will give you a gift or he does something for you. And over time, you build a relationship and you build a friendship because of the good that you receive from somebody. The whole point of good manners is this, that good manners result in good relationships, and that is because the person is receiving good from you. So good is not necessarily only in money or something, but see, whenever he sees you, talks to you, does it nicely. So there is some benefit. So focus on what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now if you look at the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is an exercise that I ask people to do, that I remind myself also to do, and I am also asking you to do, is when you go home, take a piece of paper and list down what Allah has given you, what you, if that was not there, the way to see, think about a blessing is, if this was not there, how would it feel? Right? To give you one very simple example, if these phones were not there, supposing there is a, you go somewhere, there is no Wi-Fi, right? You go somewhere, there is no signal, what happens to us? A lot of us go into like one spin, you know, my God, there is no signal. She asks, there's no signal. Do you want to call someone right now? No, I don't want to call anyone right now. Are you expecting some critical call from somewhere? No, I'm not expecting. Then what does it matter? Let there be no signal. Alhamdulillah, no signal. But we don't see it like that. We say, oh my God, no signal. Because we see this as beneficial for us. So if this is gone, what will happen to you? So now make a list of the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. And think about, if this is not there, how will life be? For example, we are all looking at each other today, and we are able to look at each other because we have got eyes which are functional. Yes? We can have eyes, but they are not functional. We can't see. The eye is still there. Somebody who is blind, if you look at his eye, his eye is there. He doesn't have a hole in the head, right? He's got eye. But eye doesn't work. Right? Similarly, there's a friend of mine who I don't know what happened, or even the doctors don't know what happened, but she had three children. After the third child, all her taste buds went kaput. They just finished. Just like that. The taste buds don't function anymore. So she says that whatever she eats, no matter what, is sweet or sour or bitter or anything, it has no taste. So it's like eating grass. It's like eating paper, you know. I mean, I've never eaten paper, so I don't know what it is. But I'm saying it's like that. There's no taste. Now, today, if you think about food, now we are sitting at almost the tail end, close to iftar time, so let me not talk too much about food. But I'm saying, if you think about food, each one of us has a favorite dish. You know, what would you like? The best thing. You have some favorite thing. And when you think about that favorite thing, you can actually taste it. Your mouth will start watering. You can smell the aroma. The memory also recalls aromas. It recalls the smell of the food. This lady, nothing. I'm giving you deliberately examples of things which we usually don't think of. You know, I was in America in 1997, and I did a lecture on shukr, on thankfulness, and one of the audience was a young man. At that time, he must have been maybe 15 or something, even school, called Mamun. Today, alhamdulillah, he's a dentist. He's got children and so on, and he's running heading a masjid in New York, mashallah. But then that time he was maybe about 15 or so. So he said to me after the lecture, he said, "Uncle Yavar, you know, I am thankful to Allah for my knuckles. You know these joints between the fingers? Knuckles." So when he said, "I'm thankful to Allah for my knuckles," I thought this kid is being funny, or, you know, he's he's trying to pull my leg or something. He's trying to joke. What is there to be thankful for knuckles? So I said, "What do you mean thankful about knuckles?" So he said, "You know, I only realize now how many times a day I use my knuckles. For everything, whatever I do, I'm picking up this book, I'm using my knuckles. I'm putting it down. Food, whatever, anything you do, these fingers." And I said, "Subhanallah, look at that. I mean, this is something which is used. I mean, if you count the number, I don't think we can even count. If you say from the morning till now, how many times did you use it? Do we know this? We don't know this. We can't even count. Even if you want to count, I think you will have to put some sensors and have a small computer to count it, because I don't think we can count it." And then one day, I was in the post office in Massachusetts, and an old lady, she came, she's using a walker, and she had a bag, and in that bag she had some very badly wrapped Christmas presents. She was sending them to her children. So in the post office she was there, she was trying. I suddenly noticed that her hands, she had an advanced case of arthritis. So her hands were completely like, they were not only stretched, they were like this. The fingers were almost back, right? So I said, "Here is a person who said, I thank Allah for my knuckles. And there is here another person whose knuckles do not function because of arthritis. She cannot close her hands. Her hands are like this. And they are like this permanently. She can't close them. So if she has to pick up something, she has to do like this. She has to go this way. And see, I bent this without even thinking. But if I tell you, just hold it like this, you know." So I'm thinking to myself, "Subhanallah, Ajib," I helped her to send off this packet. I'm thinking, "Subhanallah, here is this young man who said to me, I'm thankful to Allah for my knuckles. And here Allah showed me the opposite of that, somebody whose knuckles don't function because of advanced arthritis, the fingers are frozen like that." Ajib. Here in this masjid we are sitting here, the temperature inside is around 15, 16 degrees. The temperature outside is 50 degrees, 50. It's 515 and that is 50. Now, each one in itself, if we look at it, you say, "My God, this is so freezing cold. And why must they freeze us like this? And why is this temperature so cold? And, you know, it's so cold, it's hurting." If you look at this by itself. Now, if you go outside, you go and stand for 2 minutes. And you know from inside how a boiled egg feels, right? Without any exaggeration, you stand there quite literally. A friend of mine, he brought me some curries yesterday. So he said, "If you can't find a microwave," he said, "you don't need a microwave. Just put it on the stone there and you've got the curry." He said, "Nothing to do." But combine the two, and you have the experience of transcontinental travel. It's like being in America in winter and then stepping out straight into Arabia or straight into Africa. Actually, when you now from this masjid, after spending an hour, 2 hours here, when you step outside into that heat, it feels so nice. That 50 degrees feels so nice. The hot air, which is like standing in front of a hot air blower, feels so nice. You say, Alhamdulillah, you want to spend some time in this heat and soak up the heat. After some time, after you soak up the heat, now you step into the cold, you say, Alhamdulillah. Allah gave us air conditioning. What would have happened without air conditioning? So what am I talking about here? Am I talking about heat or cold? Or am I talking about an attitude of gratitude? An attitude of thankfulness. Conditions are the same. Boundary conditions are the same. The temperature is not going from 15 to 50 in the same place. In this place, it is 15. If you sit here, you will freeze your butt. If you go outside, you will roast your butt. I mean, either way. But the point is that attitude of gratitude. So, Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. So, therefore, happiness is not a function of what you have. Happiness is a function of how you look at what you have. Your attitude towards what you have. I am thinking to myself, as they say, there's a saying in English, they say that the difference between boys, between men and boys is the price of their toys. Difference between men and boys. When you are small, you collect dinky toys, and when you are older, you collect Ferraris. This is. So my point is that the difference between men and boys is the price of their toys. Right? It's in the mind. You are 4 years old in a 40-year-old body. The mind is still 4 years old. When you are 4 year old in a 4 year old body, it's cute, it's nice. But when you are 4 years old in a 40 year old body, it's not cute anymore, it's very stupid. Right? So that's why it's very important. Thankfulness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So today we are looking at a world where the whole world, the whole, the entire culture of consumerism is driving us to say that happiness lies in possessions. Now, I say to you that possessions add cost, not value. So, possessions don't give you happiness. Possessions only add cost. So, you buy something, you have spent money for it, then you have to look after it, and you take care of it, and you enjoy it, and this and that. They do not add value. Whereas, at least in my generation, when we were growing up, I'm talking about 40 years, 45 years earlier, or 50 years earlier. Even 50 years earlier, I was still in my teens, so I was go back even more. But the point is that, in those days, money was in short supply. Actual cash was very, very short supply. And we learned to take pleasure in things other than money. To this day, I can think of one couplet, one sher. In Urdu, which is my mother tongue, I can think of one couplet and that will stay in my mind for days, giving me joy and more, just reflecting on one couplet. I can see, for example, in one of the anashid, there is this dua Noor, which has been very beautifully recited by Sheikh Rashid Al-Afasi, Hafizullah. And if you just listen to that dua Noor, the meaning of that, the recitation of that, Alhamdulillah, there's no money can't buy that. Money cannot buy that. That's a question of so happiness is not in the money. Happiness is gratitude. So to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to develop the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what we need is, we need shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ. Right? يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَإِنْ كَانُوا مِنْ قَبْلُ لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm not going into this, into the meaning and tafsir of the whole ayah. I'm just saying, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam his ni'mah on the mu'mineen. Allah called the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam his ni'mah on the mu'mineen. Allah did not call the Quran his ni'mah. The Quran is the ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but I'm saying the word ni'mah is used with the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, how many of us thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Ask yourself this question. Last night we prayed tahajjud. Did you make dua and thank Allah? Ya Allah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. You gave us Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Did we do this? We should do it. Allah said, this is my name on you. And what did Allah say about thanking him? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِسْتَعَزَنَ رَبُّكُمْ لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِدَنَّكُمْ وَلَإِنْ كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ أَذَابِ لَشَدِيدٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the one who is thankful to me for my ni'mat, I will increase them. I will give him more barakah in this. So did we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Did we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Ramadan al-Kareem? Yes, we understand Ramadan. Yes, we understand the importance of Ramadan. Yes, we must take advantage. I'm saying, did we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Alhamdulillah, ya Allah, you gave me Ramadan in good health, with free time, with resources. You could have got Ramadan, but you could have got Ramadan in a state where you can't fast. There are people. You could have got Ramadan in a state where you have the health, but you are living in a country where you are not allowed to fast, where there is a jabber on you from the government and so on and so forth. There are countries like this in the world. Alhamdulillah, you are living in a country where, alhamdulillah, mashallah, the Islamic atmosphere of Qatar, it's so beautiful. And Allah has given you the ability to fast. And places like this, and there are many like this, where, you know, here you come, everything is free. The food and this and that and absolutely beautiful atmosphere. And I mean, what can you ask? The recitation in the night, Allah, may Allah bless the shuyukh. Such beautiful recitation, Allah. Each one in a different set. So beautiful. Just to listen to that Quran. Did we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ar-Rahmanu allama al-Quran. Allah called himself the teacher of the Quran. What would life be without the Quran? Can you imagine? No tarawih, no qiyam, no recitation, no tilawat. I'm not even talking about the hidayat of the Quran and this. I'm just the superficial outside thing. Can you imagine this? May Allah save us from this. Can you imagine a year in which you never hear the Quran? Subhanallah. There are Muslims living in the world today, Muslims who have never heard the Quran because they're so far from Islam, so far away. They're Muslim, they're born in a Muslim home, they've got Abdul Rahman is the name or, you know, whatever it is. But he does not know, his name is Abdul Rahman, but he does not know who is Ar-Rahman. Never heard the Quran. Is that wealth? He may have a lot of money. But is that man wealthy or is that man so poor you can't even describe? Which one? I mean, in this gathering, it's a dumb question to ask. Obviously, you will tell me. But I'm just saying, really, do we see that as, do we see it like that? Do we see it like that? So, shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is absolutely critical as far as developing the love of Allah is concerned. So we're talking about how to develop the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by making shukr. So make a list of the things that you and I need to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. Our families. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us good spouses, gave us good children. You know and I know the story of so many people who don't have that. Who either don't have that or who have the opposite of that. Is min al-qadrillahi ta'ala. If a child is born with some deformity or with some problem, the parents didn't ask for that. It happens. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to whoever is like that, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala miraculously by His Qudrat to cure them completely and instantly, inshallah. Alhamdulillah, list these things. Good people, good company, good friends. I came here to Qatar for this i'tikaf, alhamdulillah. Then we got these two, my nephew and this is another student and son of mine, mashallah. I mean, how much of care and concern for me and you know, am I eating, am I not eating, and so on, am I sleeping properly, can I, what time shall I wake you up, this, that, this. Alhamdulillah. Who puts the love of people into the hearts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? I mean, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts your love into the hearts of people. Otherwise, who am I? Nobody. What do I have? What do I give them? Nothing. What can I give them anyway? He brings Kerala fish curry for me because I like Kerala fish curry very much. His wife cooks it and brings Kerala fish curry for me. I'm so grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I mean, yeah. And I'm mentioning them because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Mallam yashkurinas, lam yashkurillah. How come akala alayhi salatu wasalam? The one who has not thanked the people has not thanked Allah. So I'm mentioning them specifically for this reason, because this is not for to make them happy. Alhamdulillah, they will be happy also. But I'm saying this is so I make Allah my witness that I thank them. I'm not mentioning their names because they would not want their names to be broadcast all over the place, but they are sitting here, they know, and I know this. So alhamdulillah. So seriously, thanking Allah produces a love of Allah. The more you thank, yeah? I sometimes say, I don't know, you must give me one fatwa for this. Can you blow kisses to Allah? Is it jais? Kiss? Yeah, why not jais? As far as I'm concerned, it is jais, khalas. Why can't you do that? You can't hug Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because it's not, you know, a different dimension. But kiss? Why not? I always tell people, Allah will question everyone, but I will question Allah. They say, what will I question Allah? I will ask Allah, why me? Why me? The way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed me. Only He knows. And only I know. From where I came, what I came, and what Allah has given me. I sometimes feel like a spectator standing outside and watching something happening. I'm thinking, oh my God, how is this happening? Huh? This is the same fellow. He's standing on the member of the Rasul and give a khutbah. Ajib. He reciting Quran. The same tongue. Why me? And I know the answer to that. And the answer is so that he can show his forgiveness, so that he can show his khudrat. So he can tell people, this one also I did for. And that is why he said, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Look at this ayat. See the khitab of this ayat. يَا عِبَادِي, O my slaves. Who? Not النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين. No. No. I can understand if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya Ibadi, and He said, النبيين والصديقين, my Ibad, my slaves. Who? Those who are good, who are the Anbiya, who are the Siddiqeen, the Salihin, the Shuhada. One can understand this. But no. Ya Ibadi, who? الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. Those who have transgressed against themselves, those who have committed sins, those who have disobeyed me, those who have challenged me, my slaves, you are mine. This is my Rabb Jalla Jalalu. This is His forgiveness. لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Do not despair of the, alayhi salam. Do not despair of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, grammatically speaking, if I was writing a sentence, as far as I am concerned, this sentence and this ayah is complete here. قُلْ يَا عِبَادِي أَلَّذِينَ أَصْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. خلاص. Meaning is conveyed. Those who have committed sins, don't despair of the mercy of Allah. Meaning what? Allah's mercy will be for you. Finished. But this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. Huwa al-ghafur rahim. What does he say?
Inna Allah.
What does he say? Inna Allah yaghfiru dhunuba jamia. Verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive all sins. The ayah was complete even there. Don't despair of the mercy of Allah. Verily Allah will forgive all sins. But this is my Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu. Innahu huwal ghafoorur raheem. Verily He is al ghafoor and al raheem. All forgiving, all merciful. Thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that His mercy supersedes His anger. Kataba rabbukum ala nafsihi rahma. Your Rabb has written for you, for Himself. Your Rabb. Allah did not say kataba Allahu. Kataba rabbukum. Your Rabb has written for Himself mercy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْغَفُورُ. He created death and life so that He can test you to see which of you will do the best deeds. And He is Al-Aziz. He has the power. He can punish you. He can do anything He wants. وَالْغَفُورُ. And He forgives. So when I read this ayat, I said to myself, who does the best deeds? Ya Allah, who does the best deeds? Alhamdulillah, he will get reward. What about me? Al-Aziz wa Al-Ghafur. Al-Ghafur for me. The winners win. What about us? What about me? Al-Ghafur is for me. My brothers and sisters, as I said yesterday, one of the, or probably the biggest casualty of our lives, and this is true for us from and in this world today of all ages, biggest casualty of our lives is the lack of reflection and thinking. Many people tell me today nobody reads. Young people have attention spans which are smaller than the attention span of a goldfish, you know, 3 seconds. And therefore, they say, speeches must be shorter and shorter and shorter. So, I said, tell me how to give a speech in 2 seconds. So, my theory is very simple. The world will always be comprised of winners and losers. And one basic condition is that the winner has a longer attention span than a loser. Simple as that. So, as far as I am concerned, I will focus on the winners. The losers can do whatever they want. It's not my job to focus on anybody else. So, if you do not have the attention span, at least of a monkey, right, minimum, prove Darwin's theory. Seriously, we have to get real in life, right? We need attention spans. You need to read. You need to think. You need to reflect. This is gone today. Our lives are frantic. Our schooling is frantic. Constantly, I was talking to Azad. He runs a school. We're talking about this whole the whole activity. So, everyone is into activity. Activity, activity. When is the time to have no activity? Just sit and think. Let him go out and say, go look around you. And come back and share your thoughts. For half an hour, 1 hour, you're free. Just go walk around. What did you see? You saw trees, you saw grass growing, you saw sand, you saw insects. What did you see? Come back, write down. Here is paper, pen, colors, draw. And reflect your thoughts. Tell me what is coming to you from here. Who will do this? Why did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam go and spend days and days and days and days sitting by himself in a cave? Why? This is the power of reflection. This is the power of being alone. The power of khilwat. Of being alone. The power of silence. The power of reflection, introspection, thinking. This is the power of these things. Today we have lost it all. Because we have a life which is totally frantic, continuously, you know, movement after movement after movement. Somebody is talking at you, somebody is doing something to you. No. So we must get into this habit, sit and reflect. And therefore, I want to end with this today. We don't want to go beyond 30 minutes. which is to make a list of the things that you need to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for, and then thank Allah for them one by one by one. I want to close by another very dear brother and student of mine from Malaysia, Mudassir. He wrote to me once and he said, Sheikh, what if Allah says that tomorrow morning you will wake up only with that which you thanked me for today? Imagine, supposing Allah subhanallah, this is the mercy of Allah subhanallah. If Allah had said, tomorrow you will wake up only with that which you thanked me for today, wallahi, there is not one human being alive on the face of the earth who will not do something. And we lose big time. I mean, imagine, you and I will lose big time. Big, big time. Subhanallah. Ajeeb, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not say, oh, he thanks me, he's okay. He doesn't thank me, he's okay. Thanking, my brothers and sisters, is to do with ourselves. Final point. And that's why the ayat of Surah Ibrahim, لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِدَنَّكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thanking, because sometimes people say, but you know, supposing I ask you, I said, did you thank this brother here? This brother Yasin, did I thank him? And I may say, well, you know, he knows. So Allah does not know. If he knows, and therefore I don't have to thank him, usually this happens with our families, our spouses, right? Did you thank your wife for making your life so good for you? Did you thank your wife for doing something good for you? You know, I was lecturing in Chennai, in India. And there, the audience was all Tamil Brahmins. So, they have their custom, culture. Every morning they wake up in the morning, the mother of the lady of the house, she goes and she has a bath, she does her puja, she goes into the kitchen and she makes filter coffee. And makes absolutely fantastic filter coffee. Then the men will wake up and they will sit with their filter coffee, and we have a newspaper called The Hindu. So they sit there with the filter coffee and the Hindu newspaper and they read. So I was doing this lecture, I was talking about thankfulness. So I told them, I said, this thing happens in your home? They said, yes, sir. I said, did you thank your mother or your wife or your sister, whoever does this, who makes this filter coffee for you? I said, if one day you don't get the filter coffee, what will happen? He said, oh my God, that's, you know, like disaster. This is okay. So did you thank your mother or wife or sister or whoever you makes this coffee for you? Did you thank her for this? So they said, no. There's an elderly man sitting in front, elderly meaning, say, you know, 50 plus. He started smiling and sort of giggling. So I said, why are you laughing? He said, you know, if I thank my wife, she will die of surprise. So I said, let her die happy, you know. So go and thank her. Now, it's a two-day course. Second day, one of the young guys, he comes to me. He says, sir, my mother said to thank you. So I said, your mother, I don't know who is your mother. Why will she thank me for what? He said, no. I went after I listened to your lecture. He said, I went home last night and I told my mother, Mom, thank you very much for the coffee. Her reaction was, who told you to say that? So he said, I tried to fly that by saying, no, you know, I thought to myself. She said, no, you are my son. I know what you thought to yourself. Somebody told you to say this, that is why you are saying it. So who told you? So he said, our teacher told us. We went to this course. So she said, go thank your teacher. Thank him for reminding you to do this. We take things for granted. So make this into a list and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because that is what will create the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our hearts. And the more we love Allah, the more we will fear to disobey Allah, and that is the level of our taqwa. Ramadan al-Kareem came for this, and therefore inshallah, this is our taqwa. Inshallah, we see you again tomorrow at 5 p.m. Same place, either here, inside, outside, somewhere, and we go to the next stage inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept your siyam and qiyam and tilawat al-Quran and all the good deeds you did, and to make you all into thankful slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, and to fill your lives with the barakah and noor. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya rahman.